All right, good morning, guys. And good morning to you online that are joining us. And when we found out that we were going to be speaking to you and to some other great churches in Canada, I thought, oh, we can actually mess up the whole country right now. What an opportunity. We're very grateful to be here with you. Thank you. We have a slide that the initial one. We want to say thank you from us. Thank you for having us here. Thank you for welcoming us. Thank you for bringing us into your wonderful country. We were trying to remember when the last time we'd been in Canada, and it was probably right before Tony and Melanie moved to Chicago in 01. And that's the last time we've been here. So I was talking to Melanie's mom earlier and giving her a hug, you know, because I had met her before. But we were, you know, reintroducing myself. And she's like, I don't remember you. And she said, well, maybe I remember your wife. And I thought, yeah, she's the more memorable one anyway. So, she sees Sharon and immediately remembers Sharon. And I kept, you know, as I'm working through my emotions, I'm realizing that she didn't remember me, partly because the last time I saw her, I had hair. I actually had hair. And there's a long story about that, but I don't have time for that this morning. But I actually had hair, and so it is not your fault. It is mine. And I apologize. But thank you so much. If we can read a scripture before we finish our thank you. There's the next slide up. We want to read this scripture because I think it's important. It's in Romans 1, which is the book we're going to be in today. It says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets and the holy scriptures regarding his son, as to his earthly life, was descended of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to obedience that comes from faith in his namesake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all in Rome, who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought that in today's world of sound bites, hot mics, 10-second video clips, clickbait headlines that tend to cause us to prejudge each other, I thought that I would frame our thank you and frame the book of Romans. And that's what Paul did here. He framed what he was going to talk about. But for us, we want to read it to you in this way. To all in Canada loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you by grace and peace to you from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, and from Sharon and I and the entire Chicago church. Amen. Amen.
Yes, we are so grateful and so honored to be here. And I've got to say, first of all, I mean, that worship team, seriously, I was just so moved. I was so moved. I was honestly, as an older person, you know, I just sit there and look at these young people just singing their hearts out, praising God. And I just honestly, I'm thinking, we're in good hands. You know, like when you're rolling me around in my wheelchair, it's just gonna, I'm gonna be able to praise God, right? So thank you guys so much. But we are grateful to be here in Canada. We just love Tony and Melanie so much. They really helped us through, you know, it's a long story, we'll have to tell you, but through just such a difficult time, they just really were kind of like the medics, you know, that just came and really helped us and healed us in so many ways. So we owe so much to the Sings. Mm-hmm. And as a result, we owe so much to Canada. Yes. We thank you, so for giving them to us for that time. But again, we're grateful to be here. If any of you remember One Heart, if you do remember a conference, okay, then that means you're old. But that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. It was a trick question. It was a trick question. No. But that was just a great time. I know I was like 9 months pregnant. I think Melanie was like 6 months pregnant or something. But it was a great time when the Canadian churches and the Midwest churches came together, and we just got to see that we are one heart. And even though there is a border, and we really learned about that border as we were coming here.
Yes, we did.
They didn't let us across it very easily, actually. But there is a border that separates us, you know, geographically, but heart-wise and with God, there is nothing that separates us. We are all one heart. We're one family, and we are so grateful to be here.
Yes. We what we remember about Tony and Melanie is very real. Yes. What Melanie is thinking and dealing with, you know it, because she will tell you. Tony is very encouraging. Like, he can give you courage, build you up, while at the same time tearing you down. I still don't know. I still don't know how he does it. You know, you're like, Tony tells you, you're awesome, bro, you're awesome. And then he teases you like, what? What just happened? But yes, he slips it in there. So many of your leaders here in Canada, guys, especially for those of you online who are not here in person, these disciples, these men and women who serve you as your leaders, are here because they love God and they love you. No other reason. They're not getting wealthy doing this. They're not getting accolades. They don't get, you know, they're not celebrities. They are working, sacrificing, laying their lives down along with you to continue to build the great work in the country of Canada. Amen. The next slide, please. See, this is a slide that I found. I thought, you know what? You just got to put that up there. We want you to know that we love you. You are you're just one big heart to us. And we love you. We're grateful to be here with you guys. Very, very excited. Now, in the passage I just read, Paul reminds us of who we're following. Okay? We're following Jesus. We're not following Tony, because that would be miserable. Okay? All right. I followed Tony to places, and I'm still got scars. But he says we're following Jesus, and in case we are struggling with that, because honestly, sometimes I struggle with who I'm following when life gets hard. And that he reminds us that Paul was given that task of, you know, primarily going to the Gentiles, which is most of us, right? So we have a lot to thank Paul for, but we're being reminded that he was following Jesus. And it says he calls us to obedience. It means he calls all of us to obedience in Christ. And this is where the word of God gets personal. Because when it starts saying you, I feel like he's talking to me. And when I take it personally, that's when I get true growth as a Christian. Because the Bible not only deals with us corporately, meaning in a group, in a large body of believers, but it gets very personal, very real. And sometimes I get uncomfortable when it gets personal, because I know, like, he knows who he's talking to, and he knows why he's saying it to me. But I don't always like it, but I know I need it. Today, as we speak to you, Sharon and I are going to share together, we're going to try to address both, individually and as a group of believers. If we could go to the next slide, Romans chapter 12. If we're going to begin in verse 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, next slide, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of you of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We're going to start by focusing on verse 5. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member, I'll read it again, belongs to all the others. Next slide.
You know, I just love this passage, and it reminds me, many, many years ago, I was working at a company in corporate communications, and one of our printers was going to make notebooks, personalized like notepads for everybody in our office. So you could put whatever you wanted, your name or, you know, any little saying or whatever. So I actually chose this scripture, Romans 12:5, as on my notepad, and they all thought I was so weird. They were like, Sharon, what does that even mean? Why do you have that on your notepad? But the reason was because right around that time is when I became a disciple. And I just remember that feeling of I am now a part of something bigger. Because before that, my idea of Christianity was me and God. I'm an introvert by nature, so I just thought, you know, it's me and God. I would go to church on Sundays and things like that, but I just felt like it's me and God. I really don't want anybody else in this little, you know, this little thing we got going on here. And, you know, and then when I became a disciple, I realized, you know what? But this sister over here, she loves God. This person over here loves God. We all love God. So actually, we love each other, too. So, whoa, you know, this thing is big. You know, we belong to each other. And that's why I had that scripture on my notepad, because we really belong. It's not just me and God. It's me and my sister and brothers and God. And it reminds me a little bit of when our son was born. Our daughter was about 3.5 years old when our son was born. Of course, the whole time, you know, I'm pregnant. We were talking about, you're going to have a baby brother or sister. It's so exciting, you know. And she would, you know, she was just so excited about having this younger sibling that was going to be born. So the day arrives, he's born, and Darren went and got my mother and my daughter and brought them to the hospital to meet the new baby. So of course my mom is all excited. So she comes in and she picks up our son Carson, and my daughter, I mean, she just had this look on her face and she just said, "That's my baby." She was so upset, like, that is mine. And I thought, this is, you know, even though, yeah, we weren't really happy at the time with her actions. But I just love that heart that, you know, even though she didn't know him, she had never met him in a sense, she knew that we had the same parents. And as a result, you are mine. We are together. We are family. And I really believe, as I look at this scripture and think about us as a church, whether, again, no matter where we are, no matter what country we're in, but we are one. We belong to one another. Right. What I do in Chicago affects you here in Ottawa. It does, you know. What you do affects someone maybe in Vancouver. I mean, whatever we do, it affects one another. Just even as I appreciate Greg so much, as we were looking at what was going on in Ukraine. That is a world away, but it affects us, right? Yeah. It hurts us as we know what our brothers and sisters are going through. So we do, in fact, belong to one another.
Amen. All right, I am 61. My wife is not that old. I married her very young. I had to get permission. I appreciate what Sharon shared, because we are one family. And at 61, and Sharon at her age, which is none of your business, well, you have to hear it from her, not from me. But we do our best to take care of our health. We try to eat as well as we can. except for last night when this wonderful sister made some food. It was amazing. I tell you what, I'm still tasting that food and it still tastes good. Still tastes good. But Sharon and I work out probably 4 or 5 times a week. We are doing whatever we can to stay healthy, especially as we get older. You know, it gets harder. But why? Because I belong to her. I want to be healthy for her. She belongs to me. We belong to our kids. You know, they belong to us. We're trying to do what we can because each part belongs to all the others in our family. Now, it's an interesting thing about belonging to each other. I'm going to do something, and it's going to be miraculous right now in front of you. It is going to be one of the greatest miracles you may have ever witnessed. I'm going to do it right now. Are you guys ready? All right, here it goes. I just raised my hand. Why was that miraculous, bro? Because each member had to do its part for me to do that. That's a miracle. My brain had to send that signal. The nerves had to carry that signal. The muscles had to decide they were going to obey what the nerves are trying to do. The bones had to cooperate. And all of them working together had me do this. Now imagine if the nerves decided, I ain't listening to you, man. I'm not listening to you. I'm tired. Or the muscles decided, you know what? Let the bones do it. They're hard. Talk about how hard they are. Let them do it. And the bones are thinking, what? That was a miracle. In the body of Christ, the things we do are miraculous. As we were listening to these young people sing, my wife said, Darren, that harmony is amazing. Yeah. But imagine if one of them decided, I'm not going to sing my part. Or he decided, I'm not going to play my guitar. It's miraculous what happened. But it's because they decided we belong to each other. Yeah. We're going to do our part. Yeah. So it's going to sound amazing. Yeah. And we all were enjoying it. Yeah. At one point, I stopped singing because I just wanted to hear it. Yes. This body that is not in its best shape, it's got a few what we call city miles on it. All right, not country open road miles. It's got some city miles. All right. It can still do some cool things. I can actually run. And here's how I know I can still run. Because we had to run through the Montreal airport to make our connection. I'm literally running with my suitcase and my backpack on. And it, for those of you that were here when we first came in, it was said, hey, bro, your backpack's a weapon, because I would hug people and turn, I'd whack somebody with it because it was so heavy. I ran with that thing on with my suitcase in my hand, running through the airport because, you know, customs was a little backed up. When we were running through there, so we saw Montreal as we were running. And then we were sweating so badly once we got on the plane that by the time we stopped sweating and I sat back in my seat, we were landing in Ottawa. But my body can still run. I can speak. Whether or not you like what I'm saying, I can still speak. I can hear. I can hear you. I can hear when Tony's razzing me and giving me a hard time. I can hear. I can jump. Not as high as I used to, but I can still jump. All those things I can do. Because each part of my body has decided that they still belong to one another. Even though some of them are broken down. Even though some of them are fading a little bit. They're a little older than they used to be. I actually used to be able to throw a baseball to 90 miles an hour. The last time I got clocked, I got to 65. not what it used to be. Because the... Sean, that was so wrong. He says, well, is that your change-up? I was like, bro, if you don't know what a change-up is, it's the slower pitch, all right? With friends like Sean. Think about this. Verse 2. Let's peek at that for just a second. I think my wife took my verse 2. She's awesome. All right. Yes. All right. Now I took her verse 2. All right. In verse 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Now, it's interesting that that word pattern is used. It doesn't say don't conform yourself to some thoughts of the world. It said don't conform anymore to the pattern of this world. It's an interesting word. It's like the difference between climate change and weather. And here's what I mean. Weather is hour to hour, basically, in reality, right? I think it's like that in Ottawa. Yes. Then you have snow like last week, like on Tuesday or something. And then today it's like, what, 16 degrees or something it's going to be, and sunny. And then just a few days ago it snowed, right? That's weather. It just, you don't like it, stick around 5 minutes, it'll change, right? Climate change, on the other hand, is hundreds to thousands of years. It's a pattern, a weather pattern that goes on for decades and millennia. So when we talk about not conforming anymore to the pattern of this world, we're talking about changing how we think at one point and then continuing going in that direction. Not just doing it every now and then. And this is important when we're talking about belonging to each other. Because one of the challenges to belonging to each other is that what I just read. Because it was all in the same passage. You guys remember that? It was all together. So we're going to talk about a couple of things that might challenge our belonging to each other. Okay? Talk about a couple of things here. Let's go to, I believe it's Colossians chapter 3. I think we have another slide coming up. See if it works. Just wanted to remind you of that in the next slide, please. All right, Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. It says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. Now, this passage begins with a list of things that says, you know, put that stuff to death. Immorality, impurity, lust, it just says, look, just get rid of it. But then it says this, and different versions use different wording, but then it says this, but you must also, did you get that? I don't know why that distinction is there. This says you must also get rid of these other things. Why those other things? Because those are things we do to each other. We get angry at each other. Now you said, bro, you got to get angry. It's in us. Well, it says, yeah, in your anger, though, do not sin. I get angry about a lot of stuff. But what I do with that anger, that's what's important. Rage. Man, that you just say that word, and you know what that means. Malice, slander, saying something about someone else that's not quite true, maybe a character assassination type thing. You know, those things destroy our belonging. It says you must also get rid of those as well. Filthy language from your lips. Filthy language, maybe not just cuss words, as we say in South, where I grew up in South Louisiana, but words that hurt, that damage, that inflict pain. See, my wife is much smarter than I am. My wife is much better at everything than I am. And I'm married up, and there is no question about that. But my wife also has a very wide vocabulary. And she'll say things sometimes that I don't even know what it means, and I feel offended. So my wife has learned to, you know, how to talk to me in a way that I don't get offended because of my lack of her intellect. But we have to, when we belong to each other, we consider how to communicate with one another. We consider who's listening to us. We consider what I say, how it may land, not just how I feel it's coming out of my mouth, but how will it land on the next person? That's a very significant thing. As an elder, sometimes when I preach, I wrestle, because I'm also an evangelist. I was an evangelist for many years before I was appointed an elder. And I sometimes, when I'm preaching, I'm looking in the audience for people I know, because I don't know many of you, but I'm wondering, okay, when I say this to this person, they need that inspiration and that power and that strong. But then I look over here to my left eye and I see this person who needs me to be tender and gentle and loving. They need me to tell them that they are amazing. So sometimes when I'm preaching to the ministry that we're a part of, it's hard. I almost don't like to preach anymore because I feel like, you know, I'm talking to myself while I'm preaching. Hey, bro, don't say it like that. Bro, say it like that. Bro, don't say it like that. Bro, say it like that. That's what's happening in my mind when I'm preaching to the ministry that we're part of, because I know the needs of the people. Do we give that consideration to one another just when we're interacting? Because we all need something different. We all need something different. But here's the thing. You, individually, are unique and extraordinary. And your part in the body that belongs to all the others can only be played out by you. I can't do your part. Tony can't do your part. They can't do your part. Your part is only yours. I still try to figure out sometimes what part I play in my family. I take out the garbage. But here's the thing about that. I take out the garbage. I go to every garbage can in the house. And I empty them. I'm digging them. I take them to the alley where you have to take it out and put it in the big dumpster out there. Then when I come inside, they're half full already. So I'm like, I don't do that job very well. I occasionally grill out. I will grill some food for the family. Thank you, Tony. I will occasionally grill out and to feed them and you know, but I'm out there by myself. Nobody comes to spend time with me while I'm grilling. Now, they're all busy doing their part. My wife makes this baked bean dish with spicy sausage in it and potato salad to go with it. So when I'm sitting there with my ribs that are falling apart and I got the beans, and I remember, okay, she shouldn't have been out there with me. She should have been doing what she was doing. But you know, sometimes you wonder, hey, I seem to be doing this by myself. But in reality, each unique, extraordinary person is doing their part. When we forget that is when this scripture starts to challenge us. I had a good friend who about 15 years ago said, hey, Darren, you know, there's this study out there that churches are always about 10 years behind society in how they function. That whatever society was 10 years ago, that's what the church will look like now. And I remember that scaring me. I think that time has shrunk now, though, with social media. I think the church is only like a couple weeks behind society now. But, you know, a lot of people, a lot of scholars believe that we are in a post-Christian era in Canada, and in U.S. we're approaching it very quickly. I can't imagine the church I'm a part of being like society is right now. Maybe you've heard of some of the challenges we've had in the U.S. Political, racial, pandemic related. There are people punching other people for wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. Man, it ain't that big a deal. If you choose not to wear one, love you. If I choose to wear one, maybe I have a good reason for it. We have to take COVID tests before we fly back today. So I've been wearing a mask in fellowship because I don't want whatever you're bringing. I don't care what it is. It may not be COVID. I don't want your Canadian strand of anything. Just like you shouldn't want my U.S. strand of anything. Trust me, you don't want me to bring anything in here from over there. There's a lot of mess going on down there. You don't want any of that action. But when we remember that we have our own miraculous part to play in this body, as Sharon and I sat down with the Canadian leaders, and we are witnessing them fellowshipping, talking, planning, sharing their vision for amazing things going forward. When we're listening to Greg and his wife and all of these guys sharing about hope, when we are watching that, Sharon and I got chills about what is going to happen here in Canada. Because each one of those parts of the body wants to play their part. And because they want to play their part, nothing is going to stop you. Amen. Just remember that. Next time you raise your hand, remember what it took to get there. It took a lot. We belong to all the others. Let's go to Philippians 1. I think that's the next slide. We're almost done, guys. This is one of the most difficult passages in all the Bible. Philippians 1, verse 27 says this: whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit. And then listen to this: striving together as one for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Why do I think this is one of the most challenging passages in the Bible? The next slide, please. Watch it carefully. Because we get surprised by what that word is. Because I get surprised every day by what whatever is. I get surprised. Just coming in, when we checked in for our flights online to come to Canada, it took me an hour and 15 minutes to get everything filled out. Usually takes 10 minutes for a flight. Hour and 15 minutes. We get to the airport. My wife, her boarding pass had her going in the zone before mine. So she's going in, but they stop her, said, hey, you don't have all the papers. So I'm thinking, if she doesn't have them, I know I don't have them. So we both have to go to this desk to work it out, and they tell us we have to fill out this thing. As we're filling it out, we realize our plane is leaving. We watch the gate close. We watch the plane back away. I said to my wife, you know, hon, let's just go home. She says, Darren, the flights are non-refundable. She knew how to get my attention. I said, okay, honey, let's do it. She said, Darren, let me do yours. I did mine, let me do yours. So we finally got it all figured out. But at the beginning of the trip, we thought, there's no way that this trip is going to go well. And then when we're running through the Montreal airport, guess what thought crossed my mind? Honey, let's go home. Never. What did I get surprised by? Whatever. Because stuff was happening. And I was surprised by it. And I was not handling it well. I didn't get mad. I thought a few things about Canada. Not Canada. I thought a few things about Air Canada. That's why we're flying back on Porter. I know, pray for me. Sometimes things happen in this great, big, wonderful body which we belong to each other that surprise us. Am I the only one that things happen to within the body? I watched this Christmas movie once. I watch a lot of Hallmark Christmas movies that are filmed in Canada. Okay? And there's one line from one of the movies. This woman was talking about how somebody had said something very discouraging to her in her church. And the guy said to her, "Oh, man, church hurt is real hurt." And I thought, I'm stealing that line. But isn't that true? Just like family hurts real hurt, church hurt is real hurt. But we got to remember, hey, man, we're all different. We're figuring it out. And here's a bit of wisdom for you. We will be figuring it out until we die or Jesus comes back. So if you're thinking one day, man, we're going to hit that stride. Nah. I've been a disciple since 1988. Haven't found that stride just yet. We belong to one another. Next slide, please, as we close out. I want to show you a couple more. That is our offspring. We don't call them kids anymore because our daughter Camille is 29. Just turned 29 Thursday. And then our son Carson is 25. Okay? And when they were both born, as Sharon shared, when our daughter was born, our oldest, I got discipled for holding her too much. Literally, anywhere we went, I was holding my daughter. She's a daddy's girl. At least she was then. Now her and her mom talk us to death. But I remember thinking, I did not know I had that much love and sacrifice in me once my daughter was born, because we literally didn't sleep for the first 2 years. And she was, and the night she was born, which was like 4 a.m, you know, eventually took her away, put her in, you know, the room and all the other babies. Well, about 7 a.m, they brought her back to me because Sharon couldn't touch her because what had gone on to delivery, I was the only one I could hold her. They brought her back. I said, "What happened?" He said, "She's waking up all the rest of the babies." At that point, we knew, man, she's going to be trouble. So got kicked out of the nursery at a few hours old. Then when our son was born, and we thought we lost him, actually Sharon went in for the DNC to... And the doctor says, "Well, you know, before we do this procedure, we always check for the heartbeat one more time." And they check for the heartbeat, and there was our miracle boy. They thought she had miscarried. Literally, Sharon spent 4 days waiting to go and have this done. And then we found out he was still there. And then a few months after that, he got whooping cough, but was never diagnosed until after he recovered. And at one point, one of the x-rays they took of him, they literally, guys, I'm not kidding you, to x-ray him, they had to put him up against the wall like this. So I'm watching that and thinking, God, what are you telling us? We will do anything for those two. And man, they have given us headaches. I mean, if you have raised a kid to age one day, they've given you headaches. Next slide. Now, this is our daughter's cat, Salem. Now, yes, a black cat named Salem. At one point, when she first told us, I thought, are you devil worshiping this? But it's from a TV show, right? It's a black cat that talked, and it was funny. But our daughter got this cat when she was living in Louisiana for 4.5 years and working. And she's recently moved back with us during the pandemic. She's got another job. She wanted to relaunch. Her job wasn't going anywhere. She thought, can I come home and relaunch? And she did, so she came home, but she brought her cat with her. Now, I am emotionally allergic to cats. Emotionally and mentally allergic to cats. Not physically, I just don't like them. I don't like cats. I don't like anything about them. It's like you may have a cat and go, bro, I'm not listening to you anymore. Yeah. No, it's not. I don't do anything mean to them. I just don't like them. But Salem is our daughter's cat. Salem is now part, but she belongs to us and we belong to her. So when our daughter's at work and we may be at home, I see to it that Salem is fed. That Salem gets whatever she needs. I open the window. She likes to sit in the window and look out. I make sure that she has water. Make sure she doesn't. My wife makes sure that she doesn't bring any plants into the home that might be poisonous to Camille's cat. I mean, there's so many things that we do. There's a neighborhood cat that just runs around, and whenever it comes near our house, Salem, you know, she's upset about it. So I see the cat. I go outside and run the cat off so that Salem can enjoy her existence. They got to remember, I don't like cats. She wants to try to come up and climb on me. Nah, we don't know each other like that. But Salem belongs to us, and we belong to Salem. What I'm saying to you is this. You may not like everything about everybody, that what they're doing and how they're thinking or how they do it, but we belong to each other, so we take care of each other, we protect each other, we look out for each other, we pray for each other. Why? Because every part belongs to the other. Thank you guys so much for having me.